Welcome to the Sikkim Sportscast. I'm Steve Cook, here with your editor and publisher, Kevin Longquist. And Kevin, in this kind of low info time, I thought that it might be kind of fun for us to just do some kind of wild speculation on Baylor this fall. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start out by asking you, who do you think that Baylor's breakout player is going to be this year?
You're just going to give me...
You can't say Shapen because Shapen broke out last year.
No. Well, forget it then. We're not going to do this podcast. I'm walking out of it right now. You know, the one who I really think could absolutely have a big year for them, and I'm not going to use spitball, and I heard that word so much last week in Pittsburgh I wanted to throw up. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the one that I think that – The person who I think actually could have a big year for them is I'm going to go with Hal Presley. I think I just have this sneaking suspicion that Hal, because he was on campus last year, saw how things work. You know, got into a couple of games. You know, nothing of great significance. I think he caught a pass, if memory serves. I know he missed the end of camp because of a broken foot. Or spring camp because of a broken foot, but I love his size. I think he's got an opportunity to really shine in this passing game working with Shapen. And so I'm going to, put my money on him, it per se, on breaking out this year.
I think Monterey Baldwin is going to be a lot more than advertised. Kid has got speed to burn. And he's also got just an, you know, they're using him in sweeps. They're using him in everything else. That's the kid I think is going to break out.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he's, you know, I know that people are got really excited on that, you know, that end around that worked pretty well against Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. And he's got some pretty good hands. And, of course, we saw him catch a touchdown pass in the spring game. And so it's as good a guess as any. I mean, I think, you know, from that perspective, he's got an opportunity, and there are some things that it was really under-recruited to. It was really underrated to. Underrated by us, actually, too, just because nobody knew a lot about him.
And his size.
And he didn't, right, and his size is one of the biggest things that people go, eh, and that's why he was what he was last year. But I kind of look for him to be a part of the answer. I know I didn't put him as – when I did the wide receiver position thing a few weeks ago, I didn't make a great mention of him, but, you know, that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Of course, you know, this is the spring where we're all just kind of taking our best shot, if you will.
Yeah. Now, one thing, too, though, I keep thinking about – remember Kevin Reese?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he – same kind of thing, small guy, speed to burn – the small guys can really cut a whole lot faster than the big guys, and they're very easy for the secondary to lose.
Sure.
And that's where I think he's going to come in, and because once he gets the ball, he can broken field run like nobody's business.
So if we're going to go offense, then I think we need to go defense, too, on who we think is going to be the breakout guy. So I will let you put your thinking cap on. I give my answer, and I think I'm going to go with Garmon Randolph because, you know, that outside, that third linebacker position has not been settled yet. I know a lot of people feel like that's going to be Josh White's position to take over, which I think he probably will. But I think when you're looking for a guy that's going to be more of an influence in terms of the rotation, making plays, and because of his size and his wingspan, I really think Garmon's got a chance to do even more than what he did last year. And last year he was pretty good too. But I think he's got that ability to take it to the next level. And if he does, that linebacker group becomes the equal of what the defensive line is in terms of its ability level and its depth and its and also its just impact on a game play after play.
Man, this is tough for me, but I think it's going to be somebody in the secondary.
Okay.
And A.J. McCarty.
Okay.
Okay. He's out there on special teams. And you know what? Somebody's going to have to step up in that secondary.
Yeah.
and because just about everybody's gone.
Right.
And I think so. It's kind of a, you know, roll the dice on who it's going to be. But I think McCarty, because he's already had that year as a special teams
right.
guy. And the thing about secondary guys is, it for me personally, I still, because the better you are in the secondary, the less people throw out.
For sure.
So you know, it's hard to tell. Is
breaking
this guy
news
good
from
or?
Stephen Cook, and so.
Yeah, well, no, but what I'm saying is that, you know, it's like, and you see it in the NFL
well, sure.
a lot, that a guy gets a reputation for being really good,
oh, yeah.
and nobody throws at him for half a season, and all of a sudden they target him, and they're like, oh, my God, he's not paying attention anymore because nobody ever throws
no,
at him.
No, that's a great point that you make on that, because there are some guys that are like that, where you get this reputation, and they kind of take the game off, and some OC says, you know what? No one's been picking on him for a while. Let's go after him and just see what he's all about and if he's still paying attention to what's going on out there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm totally with your line of thinking on that. Okay. So,
all right, now.
Well, I was going to say this. The guy. Okay, now let's turn this to the guys that we're going to be on the watch to say, like, you know, I'm going to watch this guy and see what he's going to do. And I'm going to let you put your thinking cap on as I – make my choice of Lorander Johnson, Snacks, as people like to call it, the kid from Lancaster who was the late addition to the class because, excuse me, he's working his way into becoming the heir apparent to Jalen Petrie at the Star. Had a pretty solid camp. And we saw him play a little bit last year. Numbers weren't anything special, but he's got immense ability level. 5'11", 200 pounds, can run like the wind. And I think there's just a lot of people out there. I think he's a guy that could absolutely take over seamlessly for Jalen. That's how good I think he's going to be. But he's a guy that I'm going to watch this year from the opener against Albany to the finale.
For me, it's Craig Williams. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen a couple of flashes of him where he was, like, really good. Then, you know, he's had two non-contact injuries that have taken him out for a season. But in the spring game,
right,
he just looked so much tougher. He didn't just look like a water bug running around. And so
right.
I'm going to watch him. I still don't think he's ever going to carry the bulk to be like you take him, you take Tay McWilliams. Guess who's going to get more carries?
Tay, right.
Yeah. And so, but he's one that I think, because I think he could be like your little you know, can a WD-40 to break things loose when a game's getting tight.
Mm-hmm. I can agree. I can appreciate that. Sure. You know, the thing about this team, and while everyone is kind of just sitting here in this idle period, while the coaches are going through their visits and you know, and that sort of thing, it's one of those things where I really feel like it's a team that that carries a lot of confidence. And how it just goes about its work, even in this offseason. I think guys have run off for a couple of weeks before they come back in June. And we should point out, too, that you know, all the recruits should be – the rest of them should be coming in. They typically come in around Memorial Day weekend when they check in and start getting that process going for them. And so we should look for that again as well. But there's just this – I don't know. I don't want to say that there's this – quiet confidence, this belief system that they've got going, that they feel like they can be absolutely extraordinary this year, this coming fall. And I have a hard time disputing that just based on the fact that what you got coming back, and again, just going down the line with when we talked about the quarterback position and when that went to Shapen,
mm-hmm.
that made a lot of, you know, those are the types of moves that you make as you're preparing your team for making, you know, that kind of a run. That you think you can make to win another conference championship and get into the college football playoff. There's just that aura about you rather than, golly, we're still trying to add people to this thing. That doesn't make me feel good. You know, that sort of thing. I kind of feel like that's where I think they're at. They feel like they're pretty much getting this thing, if you will, fine-tuned once they hit fall camp in early August.
Yeah, and that was something that I was thinking about when you know, we did some things, and we had some of our readers were talking about people entering, you know, bringing in people from the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on the quarterback situation. And okay, look, because Anu Solomon and Jalen McClendon, no. You know, I'm kind of soured on bringing in quarterbacks through the portal. But I think that I really get the feeling that they feel like their chemistry's right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bring in somebody through the portal, you don't know what you're bringing in to the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when they talked about bringing in wide receivers, they don't really have anybody that's proven. But I kind of think this wide receiver core has a chance to be better than it was last year.
Well, it's just it's almost like the group of where you don't know, like the quarterback situation where you didn't know really what you had, and then it came on as the season progressed, and that's where it goes back to the whole player development thing and getting guys ready to play and then coaching them through a season. And I think the only thing that this wide receiver group is lacking is just experience. I mean, your most talented, or I should say the guy who's had more experience out there than anybody else was Gavin Holmes. And he really hasn't played that much the last couple of years or at all because of his knee issues. So when you look at the opportunities where they're, like I said, we talked about the fact that Armani Winfield, the 2022 signee who arrived in January, you know, he's got a chance to get on the field. Kelsey Johnson, 2022 signee from Red Oak. He's a tight end, but just I'm going with the theory about about pass catchers here, that he's got a chance to get on the field. They've got a lot of talent. They just don't have, if you will, the track record to back them up. We saw what they could do at high school, but that's a different level than what you're doing in college. And so that's the only thing where people have a little bit of like, I don't know about this group yet. But I think the talent is there to take this passing game to another level. And I think that's the other reason why, because there are so many new faces, that's another reason why the decision to go with to find your starting quarterback right after spring ball was made, so that chemistry could continue to develop.
Yeah. Now, as we talk about the portal, it's something I'm kind of curious about. I won't ask you for percentages or anything like that, but how many guys do you think hit the portal because they're like, I don't like it here? And how many do you think hit the portal because the coaches told them, hey, you know what? You might like it better someplace else?
Percentage-wise, I think that's a total mix. And the I don't like it here attitude is probably based on the fact that they're not getting any playing time and they're not seeing the field. And, you know, I think I saw a stat. I might have put this out there a few weeks ago when I was talking about the portal. You know, there's over 2,000 football players, I think, that hit the portal last year. I think that was the number. And very few find the spot that they're looking for, or if they do find a spot, they're going down in classification. They're either going to go FCS or G5 or HBCU, you know, historical black colleges or something like that. They're just not going to improve their situation there. So as long as they're willing to accept those consequences of moving on, that's fine. Like I said, you know, it goes back to like what we talked about last week with Gary Bohannon. And in Gary's case, you know, he wanted to play rather than stay. Even though whatever he did at Baylor and how he enjoyed that conference championship season and all that stuff with Baylor last year, it's wonderful. But there's still that personal satisfaction of being able to do something and getting on the field and playing. That's why you play the game, is to play, not sit on the sideline and wait your turn in case somebody gets hurt or just starts playing poorly. You don't want to think about it in terms of that. You want to get on the field and play. That's just kind of where we're at these days. And I think that's the case of a lot of these guys. You know, when we talk about, you know, Baylor and the quarterback situation in the portal, and as I've said on the board, I don't really see them trying to add anybody here because, number one, we're at a stage in the portal season where your quality quarterbacks are gone. They've already found a different location. So whatever's remaining out there, probably not the greatest choices. And it's kind of like, well, why would we want to bring this guy in to have him sit? You know, we want to make sure that all the conditions are right for Blake Shapen to take over and that all the guys behind him are not in a position to challenge him, because really no one behind Blake is in a position to challenge him. Kyron Jones isn't, CJ Rogers isn't. Those are guys that would be capable of backing up if he got hurt or something along those lines. But I don't think you bring in somebody on a scholarship from a P5, much less a G5 program, who might have some experience, and have him there, because that guy's not going to want to come and play unless he's just like, there, I just want to get my MBA and I don't care if I get on the field or not, unless you get that after. But then that doesn't help you anyway. But that also tells you what the quarterback situation is like these days in football at all levels. Quarterbacks want to get on the field. They're not there to stay. And that's why I've said, outside of coaches, this is the most transient position in all of college football.
Well, and there's a different situation in the pros, because college, you got this window, and at a certain point in time, the window is going to close.
Right.
All right. And you cannot play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In the pros, you can have like a Colt McCoy who, you know, there have been several teams that have said, hey, let's get Colt McCoy. He's not a starter. He's okay to sit on the bench, but we're not scared if he comes in and plays a few series or has to take over if our main guy gets injured. Those guys don't exist in college.
Right. Great. Excellent point, because it's almost like, okay, well, we have to go in this direction here, and you need serviceable backups because of what's invested in your team, you know, from a financial standpoint. It's the same thing, too, at the college level in terms of, you know, the scholarship values of the type of talent that you have in there. But to your point, it's really about not having serviceable backups, because if they were serviceable backups, they'd be gone. They wouldn't be there on the roster. And I think that's kind of how the mentality has to change as far as the quarterback is concerned. That's why, you know, every season, any Division I program is going to recruit one quarterback every year. They have to, because of how much the position changes. We've seen so much here over the years where Baylor quarterbacks have come and go. Zach Smith, Jarrett Stidham, that sort of thing. You know, even Charlie Brewer finally reached the point where he was out of here. And to your points about the portal failures of McClendon and Anu Solomon, those were really bad additions. And not saying that Dave, obviously, you know, Dave Aranda wasn't around there for those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that also shows you, too, that if you're bringing in guys like that as a backup or a potential starter, then that just makes your position even worse.
It muddies the water, and it takes away, particularly Shapen needs a lot of snaps. And you know what? Drones and Rogers need a whole lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in somebody else, and if you're planning on putting him in a game, guess what he's going to be doing?
Yeah.
He's going to be taking snaps.
Other thing is, too, it's kind of like a head football coach's ability to handle the quarterback position is very similar to a baseball manager's handling of his pitching staff. I'll always go back to the phrase of Whitey Herzog, the Hall of Fame manager with the Kansas City Royals and the St. Louis Cardinals, saying, when it talked about pitchers, he's like, these guys will get you fired every time. Because if you just make bad decisions in games, or if you can't get your rotation right, or if you can't get roles identified for your bullpen or whatever, it's going to have your season go upside down on you pretty fast. And then that's the same thing in football. If you don't have your starter name and you don't have your roles identified on there, it's going to get you into a lot of trouble. And I'm going to tell you this, that I think that's the one thing, if you go back and look at the Matt Rhule era, that's where he got it consistently wrong, was the quarterback situation for this program. He's kind of getting it wrong, too, in Carolina, too. And there are some guys and I think that's one thing where you go back to Dave Aranda, where Dave and Jeff Grimes and Sean Bell have really given the appearance that they really want to make sure that they get this right and they understand the position so that there is no doubt how this is going to work. Because even though last year we went into fall camp trying to figure out if it was going to be Bohannon or Zeno, by the time they made that decision, everybody understood their roles, and, you know, Zeno didn't like it and he left. But at least that was a case where roles were identified. And I think that's got to be, and that's what we have, you know, coming out of spring camp this year.
Were you there for, I think it was the Duke game, when Brewer and McClendon swapped, they swapped possessions?
Yes.
And they brought both of them into the interview room at the same time. That was back when we'd go around, you know, in little groups and talk to them, you know. Both of those guys, I mean, both of them were ready to explode. They were both so angry with the decision.
one thing. I don't understand why some coaches just don't understand that position. I mean, there's a lot of politics. There's more politics in playing with your quarterbacks than any other position. I get that, but you've got to be resolute in how you handle that position. And I think that's where some football coaches fail, is the way to navigate that position.
Yeah. Well, anyway, do you want to close it out for us? We got anything coming this week?
Yes, sir. Yes, so we have the Baylor Blitz coming on Friday. It'll return this week. And then there is a big recruit deal that's going on this coming Friday, getting some names collected. There's going to be a lot of underclassmen, a lot of 2024s, 2025s, so stand by for that. I've got a thread started on that with a couple of names that I've seen. Hope to add a little bit more to that as we go forward. Probably not going to have all the names, but trying to just get some notables for you that are there. But of course, the Blitz will have all the news coming out, and we're still tracking down when official visits are going to be settled in by a lot of recruits that are not commits, but those that are seriously considering Baylor. So we're still working to get all those solidified as we get going. We thank you all for being a part of our website. Thanks again for all of you for being patient with me last week with my travels between Pennsylvania and Arkansas, and we will talk to you all next week on the Sikkim Sportscast.